Gunsmoke, The Long Ride.
This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
A presentation of the World of CBS. At night, an armed guard patrols outside the office of a Western mining company. Inside the office, by the light of an oil lamp, the mine owner tallies up the week's production of gold dust packed in canvas bags. Outside, a faint noise attracts the guard's attention. He moves to investigate. And is clubbed unconscious. The mine owner looks up.
Don't move.
Three men, their lower faces hidden by bandanas, crowd into the office, aiming their six guns at the mine owner. He sits frozen in fear as they gather up the bags of gold dust from his desk. The two with the bags of gold head for the door, while the third robber holds the owner at gunpoint. He stares into the owner's eyes, and they widen. Then he shoots the owner in the heart.
My God, Padgett, what are you doing?
The two robbers hurry out. The third robber, Padgett, takes a last look at the man he's killed, then leaves him slumped on his desk. Sunlight bathes a wide, peaceful valley backed by distant hills. James Arness. Gunsmoke. With narrative description by AudioVision. The Long Ride. People dressed in their Sunday best socialize on the sloping lawn in front of a rustic ranch house. A minister talks with two fiddlers, Bible in hand, James Brolin, Amy Stock Poynton, Christopher Bradley, Patrick Dolahan. Smiling and chatting happily, the people have gathered for a ceremony. Don McManus. Marco Sanchez and Ali McGraw as Uncle Jane. Music by Artie Kane. Editor Scott Powell. It's a wedding with a lovely smiling bride. Art director Jamie Archer. Former Dodge City Marshal Matt Dillon steps over to the bride and smiles down at her.
Beth, never saw a more beautiful woman.
Beth grins and glows with pride, and Matt's smile broadens. Standing with the handsome dark-haired groom, the minister signals the fiddlers. Director of Photography, Ross A. Mail. Produced by Norman S. Powell. Matt offers Beth his arm.
You go, Beth.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere, Dad. I'm just getting married.
He leads her toward her waiting groom, written by Bill Stratton. Directed by Jerry Jameson.
Holy matrimony, joyous though it may be, make no mistake, it is a difficult and dusty road. Through thick and thin, plentiful and parched, their only true security in hard winters and blistering summers is one another. For better or worse means for good. Now then, Beth, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
And do you, Josh, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I sure do.
You may kiss the bride and close the deal, son.
Josh does so, long and sweet, while Matt and the guests look on happily. Congratulations. Later, Beth throws her bridal bouquet over her head to a group of unmarried young women. Two riders leading a third horse canter across the valley toward the ranch house. Among the wedding party, Matt is the first to notice the riders approaching. They stop at the edge of the yard and dismount.
Looks like we got some family here.
Matt goes to meet them. One of the riders has a mustache and long hair. The other has a grizzled beard, close cropped, and a tin star on his coat. Neither is smiling.
Afternoon. Something I can do for you, men?
I'm Deputy Monahan. Pardon us for intruding on your occasion here, but we're looking for a Matt Dillon.
I'm Matt Dillon.
Monahan pulls a picture from his coat pocket.
You the man in this picture?
It was taken at a livestock auction.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, it was taken a few days ago up at the auction.
Monahan points to the third horse.
He looked familiar to you?
Yeah, I owned him for 5 years, named Cisco. I sold him about 3 days ago. A fellow worked for Jules Braxton. All right, what's all this about?
Well, about three nights ago, somebody shot Jules Braxton dead. Took a fortune in gold.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that.
Well, our sheriff tangled with him outside of town. Took a bullet in the side. But one of them got thrown in, we found this horse.
You trying to say I'm that man?
Well, we got a witness says he saw you on this here horse. Circled your face in that picture.
This man was a United States Marshal.
Oh, we know that. We know that. Look, I don't get any pleasure in doing this, but I'm afraid I'm gonna have to ask you to come with us, Mr. Dillon.
You've got no right to do this. My father hasn't done anything.
It's all right, Beth.
Matt looks at the warrant.
Signed by the territorial judge and Sheriff Merriweather. All right. I'll go with you. Get this straightened out.
The other deputy takes out manacles.
You don't need those, deputy. I'll get my trail gear. Be with you in a minute.
Matt heads for the ranch house as the two deputies exchange a look. The guests part to make way for him. A fast-moving shallow river crosses the trail back to the town of Golden. Matt follows Monahan and the other deputy, Spinoza, across it. As they ride on, Monahan turns to Matt.
Ain't it funny? When I was a kid, I heard about this great Dodge City Marshal.
That a fact?
Yeah. Seems like you've dwindled some since then, huh?
Yeah, but not enough to stop me from robbery and murder, huh?
Why not? Wouldn't be the first time a lawman turned outlaw.
Yeah. I've seen it the other way around, too.
Later, they make camp. Spinoza passes a bottle of whiskey to Monahan. He stares at Matt, who regards him coolly.
How many bullet holes you got in you, Dillon?
I've had my share.
Monahan puts the nearly empty bottle down.
You ain't had one in the face yet, have you?
He steps over to Matt.
See, I still got mine.
He points to his cheek.
Went in here, got stuck right there.
By his earlobe.
They said they'd take it out, but I'd die if they did.
You want me to show him the dodger?
Yeah.
Look here, Mr. Dillon. You're wanted, dead or alive. $5,000 reward by the Braxton Mining Company.
He shows Matt the wanted poster.
I hope you don't try to run, you poor old man, because if you do, I'm going to have to shoot you in the face.
I think he's going to run.
I think you're right. He's going to run. Look at his eyes. This old man is scared.
Matt stares at him.
Well, run. Run, you son of a bitch!
He backhands Matt. Matt decks him with a left cross, clouts Spinoza to the ground, then yanks the gun from the deputy's holster and points it at Monahan. Soon after, he canters toward town, leading the two deputies' horses and the one he sold at auction. He reins up in front of the jail. Inside, The young sheriff is tending to the bullet wound in his side. Matt enters.
Sheriff Merriweather?
Yeah.
Matt drops the deputy's holsters on the desk.
My name's Matt Dillon. You the man sent those two bounty hunting deputies after me?
Those men were Braxton Manning. Volunteered.
What about the wanted dead or alive part? Whose idea was that?
Jules Braxton's son was in a grieving rage. Wrote that when he found his daddy. Eyewitness said he saw you. We found your horse.
I sold that horse to a man by the name of Ike Berry. Looks a little like me. That's a man you ought to be tracking. Now, if he's riding double, he'd be leaving a good trail.
Well, I don't know.
Stepping over to the desk.
You've got a...
He pulls a gun from its holster.
Well, you have a lot going against you, Mr. Dillon. I'm afraid I'm gonna have to arrest you.
No, that's not gonna happen, son. I'll talk to the circuit judge. We'll get it straightened out. Meantime, you can find me at the hotel.
Matt walks out, leaving young Sheriff Merriweather at a loss. Soon after, a well-dressed man rides up to the hotel and dismounts. Several men waiting on the boardwalk follow him into the hotel. He leads the men upstairs and along the hall to the door of a room. Inside, Matt turns from the window.
Who is it?
Jules Braxton Jr. Open up, Matt Dillon.
On his way to the door, Matt picks up his six-shooter and sticks it in the waistband of his pants. He pulls open the door.
Is this the man?
The fellow beside Braxton peers at Matt.
That's him.
I came here to see with my own eyes the man who killed my father.
Well, I had nothing to do with that. But your eyewitness here, he's a horse thief from Kansas. I arrested him years ago in Dodge City.
I know what I saw. You almost ran me down, spurring away from that mine office.
I don't believe you, Dillon. And I swear on my father's name, I'll bring you to justice.
I believe in justice too, Junior. But you don't get that by offering dead or alive rewards on innocent men. And when the judge gets here, you'll get justice. With due process.
Braxton glares at him.
Be warned, Dillon. I'll be back.
He stalks off. Matt closes the door. A stagecoach rolls toward town. The driver reins in the six-horse team on the main street. Josh Reardon climes out with Beth. As the driver hands down their satchel, Matt joins them.
Beth?
Dad!
They embrace.
Am I glad to see you?
Look, I thought we agreed you were going to stay home.
Mr. Dillon?
Josh.
How are you?
Well, tolerable, considering I'm a fugitive.
Is there a judge in town?
Well, he's out on circuit. He's over in abstention. I sent a wire to him, but I haven't gotten an answer yet.
Well, this stage goes on to abstention. I could get back on, see if I can bring him back.
Pretty good idea. Take Beth with you.
No, I'm staying with you. I mean it, Dad.
All aboard. Stage is leaving.
Beth kisses Josh.
Be back as soon as I can.
He gets back on the coach.
Hey!
As it rolls out of town, Matt notices the men watching them from in front of the saloon.
Let's get off the street.
He picks up the satchel.
Golly, what do you got in here, rocks?
Your guns and ammunition.
That night, in the office of the mining company, Jules Braxton Jr. looks through the ledger. He looks up as Monahan enters with Spinoza.
Where you been, boys?
Don't start ragging on me, Jules. I ain't in no mood.
We ended up walking about 100 miles.
I underestimated that old man. I won't do that again.
Spinoza, wait outside.
I mean it, Jules. Where is he? I got something to settle here.
Don't do it. We don't want to make a mistake now. Everything's under control. The boys are in town working on something for Matt and Dylan.
At the saloon.
Remember what old man Braxton done when we got out of that deep vein? For stop and put in ventilation shaft.
Yeah, it cost him a pot of money, but none of our boys got...
Matt listens from the boardwalk.
The owner I know gave a damn about miners.
You telling me the man that killed him's not gonna hang?
He's sitting over there in the hotel free as a bird. What do you think?
Concerned, Matt leaves. From a table in a corner of the saloon, two men watch the miners work themselves up.
This takes all of you and Barney. Make sure the sheriff don't get heroic.
Returning to the hotel, Matt knocks on his daughter's door.
Who is it?
Beth, it's me.
Dad, what's going on?
Look, some men are going to be coming here looking for me. I want you to get dressed quickly.
Dad.
Don't argue with me, Beth. This is serious. I'm going to take you over to the boarding house for the night. Tomorrow morning, I want you to get on the stage. Go home.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to go find Ike Barry and his partners. Clear my name.
Drunk, armed, and spoiling for trouble, the miners head for the hotel. They burst into Matt's room and find it empty.
The bastard's gone. Come on.
Having taken Beth to the boarding house, Matt gallops out of town. In the morning, Monahan hands out tin stars to miners who have volunteered to join a posse. Braxton strides through the throng to his horse and mounts up. Beth watches anxiously from the boarding house. Spinoza mounts up. Uneasy but reluctant to intervene, the sheriff also watches. Braxton nods to Monahan.
All right, let's mount up. This posse is official.
Beth's concern deepens as the posse rides out of town. And so does Sheriff Merriweather's unease. Matt rides alone on his horse. He stops when he notices some hoof prints and dismounts to inspect them. Their depth suggests two men riding double. Matt looks off in the direction they're headed, across a plain toward a distant ridge of hills. He rides on toward the ridge. Far behind, led by Braxton and Monahan, the posse rides along a dry gulch, following Matt's trail. A transient blacksmith has set up shop at the juncture of several trails. Matt approaches a nearby signpost and stops to consider it. The blacksmith notices him and comes over.
You're trying to decide which way to go. Choice is real easy. Only safe road's to Raton Pass, unless you want to eat a hatchet.
I thought the Utes were peaceful.
Well, they were, till the damn miners drove them out of their rightful land around Cripple Creek. Now they just uncommon mean.
Maybe you can help me. I'm looking for some men might have come through here. One of them was a fellow about my size, maybe riding with two others.
Is one of them a half-breed, had a bad leg?
That could be.
Big man was packing double with a third fella. Breed must have been a Ute. They lit out across Indian territory.
Toward Cripple Creek?
I'd say. They bought a horse from me. That Breed looked in bad shape.
What you're saying is the only safe way to get to Cripple Creek is by way of Raton Pass?
Takes a day longer that way, but it's a damn sight better than getting yourself dog dead.
Much blood.
Matt heads off in the direction of Raton Pass. Once out of view by the blacksmith, however, he stops. After checking that the blacksmith isn't watching, he heads off toward Cripple Creek. Back in town, at the rooming house, Beth is at the window in her room.
Who is it?
Sheriff Bert Merriweather, Miss Dillon.
Beth crosses the room and opens the door.
My name is Mrs. Reardon, Sheriff. What do you want?
Well, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to put you on stagecoach out of town, Mrs. Reardon. It's not safe here for Matt Dillon's daughter.
My father had nothing to do with the killing of Jules Braxton.
Yeah, well, that's up to a court.
My husband is returning with a judge. I'm not leaving until he does.
Then I'm gonna have to put you in protective custody.
You didn't do one damn thing to protect my father.
I'm not making that mistake again. If you'll just come with me, ma'am.
Matt canters across open country on the way to Cripple Creek. He reins in when he sees something. A man gallops across the plain with several ponies in his possession. Several angry Indians follow him in hot pursuit. Matt pulls his Winchester from its scabbard. The man spots Matt and veers toward him. Matt climbs down. Levering a shell into the Winchester's chamber, he raises the rifle to his shoulder and sights down the barrel. The man with the ponies rides past him and stops. Matt keeps his rifle leveled on the approaching Ute Braves. They stop.
God bless you, mister.
The Utes consider Matt. Finally, one of them dismounts. He walks slowly toward Matt, who trains the rifle steadily on him. When the Ute stops a short distance away, Matt lowers the rifle. He uses sign language.
Your Chief Uray gave his heart to peace. Why you warlike?
Tell him I'm a minister.
Pointing at Matt, then himself, the Ute Brave steps forward making signs.
Nate. Maruske.
Claims you got buffalo ponies. Theirs.
Oh, no, sir. No.
I have a bill of sale. Bought them up in Gunniston.
He claims they were stolen by miners.
I paid $55 silver. You tell them.
They want the horses, mister.
Ain't that too damn bad?
Says they'll give you a rifle, let you ride out unharmed.
I don't want an old trapdoor infantry rifle. I want them horses.
I'll tell you what, mister. Maybe I'll just ride on. You can negotiate the rest of this yourself.
The minister looks at the Utes and considers the situation. Reluctantly, he leads the string of ponies over to the Ute Brave.
This ain't a fair trade.
He takes the Brave's old army carbine,
you know,
and gives him the ponies.
Indians come out way ahead on this deal. Be the first time in a while.
The Brave signs, "Go in peace," to Matt, who returns the sign. He watches with the minister as the Brave leads the ponies back to the other Utes. They ride off with the ponies. Watching them go, the minister pulls a flask from his pocket and takes a swig, then offers it to Matt.
Oh, no thanks.
heart got a good rest back there. Stopped completely. I guess I ought to thank you. My name's John Parsley. Known as John the Methodist back in Pike County.
Name's Dillon, Matt Dillon.
Yeah. If you aren't the hand of Providence, I never seen it. But they'd have rode right over the top of most men. The way you stood your ground with that rifle, he's afraid of you.
I don't know about that, mister. I think mostly we were lucky.
Damn, I just wish you hadn't given away all my ponies.
Seemed reasonable at the time.
Yeah, I suppose. Leastways, I still got something left to comb. You still heading north?
Yeah. I'm looking for three men. Maybe you ran across them. One of them's a tall fella, supposed to look like me. Another one's a half-breed ute.
With the shot-up leg?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, a couple of fellas left to breed up at Uncle Jane's there where I just come from.
Uncle Jane?
Yeah, she runs a little trading post, about 10 miles.
Thanks.
But seeing as how I've been relieved of my trade goods, I'll just ride on back with you.
Suit yourself. This Uncle Jane, she gets along with the Utes?
Oh, yeah, well, they love her. Yeah, I sort of marvel on the woman myself. She is a pure treat. Of course, I don't think she's all that fired up about me.
John Parsley takes another pull from his flask before mounting up. Meanwhile, the posse questions the blacksmith.
Well, he was asking about some other men. I told him if he headed north, some buck would be wearing his scalp on his leggings. Just tell us which way he went, mister. Well, the way I advised him. He took out along the Raton Pass Trail. Takes you a little out of your way for Cripple Creek, but then again, the Indians don't shoot your head all full of arrows.
The posse rides off in the direction of Raton Pass. Matt and John Parsley arrive at Jane's trading post, where Jane is grooming her horse, a handsome paint pony.
Told you wouldn't get far with those ponies. You're lucky the Utes didn't skin you alive.
Jane, I own them horses. I even showed the heathens my bill of sale.
You are mule stubborn, John, you know that? Glad you're back. Did you learn anything?
Oh, I learned something. I learned the only thing more righteous than a preacher is a brassy grass widow.
Jane turns to Matt.
He means a reformed whore. Hello. I'm Jane Merkel.
Jane? Matt Dillon. Looks like you got a going concern here.
I wouldn't call it a thriving commerce, but I can manage addition and multiplication and silence.
Matt wants to see the breed. He's got some business with him.
He's inside. Why don't you go on in?
Thank you.
He leaves the two of them together in the yard. Matt enters the dim interior of the trading post. Lying on a cot, the young half-breed aims a rifle at him unsteadily.
What do you want?
I'm just passing through, son.
Jane and John enter behind Matt.
Collie.
What does he want?
Put that thing down, Collie. You could hurt someone.
Unable to hold the rifle, Collie drops it.
Who is he?
He flops back on the cot, sick and exhausted. Matt approaches him with Jane. He gives Collie's rifle to John, and then kneels down to inspect Collie's wounded leg.
Gangrene.
Oh, I was afraid of that.
That looks bad. He's burning up, isn't he? This leg's got to come off. John, could you boil some water?
Yeah.
Matt has noticed Collie's battered canteen. Unscrewing the lid, he finds it full of gold powder.
Gold dust.
was stolen from a mine owner. He got himself killed for this. I'm after the two men he was riding with.
Trading fair and keeping my mouth shut is how I go on living out here, didn't I tell you? Do we have anything to tie off the arteries? All I have is rawhide.
Horsehair. Long strands from the tail.
Matt washes his hands and dries them off. John pours a drink for Collie.
Drink up, son. It's free. You need all the Irish chloroform you can guzzle.
Collie swallows the whiskey, and John pours him another cup. He drinks it, grimaces at the taste, and then peers woozily at John. Smoke streams from the chimney of the trading post. The muffled screams disturb the horses in the corral. Collie survives the amputation.
He's breathing more steady now. I don't know what kind of friends would leave a man in his condition way out here.
Jane watches over him with Matt.
Adjit wanted to put me under. Ike wouldn't let him. Adjit shot the old man for no reason.
Matt takes this in and nods.
I'll be leaving in the morning.
The sun burns low in the sky. The posse rides on toward Cripple Creek. In the morning, Matt emerges from the trading post.
John, what are you doing?
I'm going with you.
That might not be such a good idea, John.
Well, I figured you'd need some help bringing them lowlifes back. Besides,
I got a posse following me, John.
Well, that don't bother me none. It's in my better nature to help folks when they need it.
Well, what about Jane? I thought you were getting soft on her.
Matt, I told you. She don't much like me.
Well, the way you're acting, she might figure it was the other way around.
Yeah, but I'm still coming with you. What about that breed and all that gold?
Got the gold buried. He's not going anywhere for a while with that leg.
As they mount up, Jane comes out.
Weren't you going to say goodbye?
Of course I am.
When? After you rode out?
We'll be back, Jane. Take good care of Collie for me.
Bye, Matt. Good luck.
As Matt rides out, John dismounts and steps over to Jane. He puts his hands on her shoulders.
What would you say if I was to tell you I got the real strong feeling for you?
Well, I'd say you were lonely.
He touches her cheek. Then he kisses her.
It ain't loneliness. You know I love you.
He mounts up.
How would I know that, John?
Well, I do. And I'll bring you a surprise when I come back.
Jane smiles at this and watches him ride off after Matt. The posse has stopped by a river for water.
Come on, let's get moving.
Hey, you heard the man. Let's move it up.
Cripple Creek's another 60 miles. We rode near all night.
Braxton rides into the objector, knocking him backward into the water.
My father's dead. We're not stopping till I've got Dylan. Get back up on that horse before I shoot you.
The humbled objector obeys, and the posse rides on across the shallow river. A covering of stones and a crude cross mark a grave on the plain. John points it out to Matt.
Now that there could very well be one of my own congregation.
Had your own church, Dan?
Yes, sir. Missouri. Yeah, Pike County. Had myself over 250 God-fearing, hymn-singing, straight-backed, brother-loving damn Christians. And, sir, my word was gospel.
What happened? Gold, that's what happened. There I was, preaching the inner wealth of the soul, and suddenly they started walking out the door two by two for the mother load. Then word come back that two of them had struck pay dirt beyond their wildest dreams. And there went the rest of them.
So then you went to preach in the gold camps?
Well, hell, I come on out after them to tickle up that vile yellow lucre myself. Damned if I didn't have the fever. Groveling in the gravel stream bed with the rest of them.
Still wearing the cloth.
Yes, I am.
John takes a swig from his flask.
I am still looking for the better angel of my nature.
Matt sees a large party of Ute warriors riding toward them.
Better put the whiskey away and straighten up, John.
John fumbles for his shotgun.
I'll leave it in the boot.
Apprehensively, they watch the warriors approach.
Jesus, Joseph, and Mary.
Matt starts forward, and John follows. The Utes slow to a canter as they near. John glances nervously at Matt. Cradling his carbine, the leader of the Utes raises a hand in a peaceable greeting. Matt responds in kind, and the Utes pass by. John takes another swig from his flask and glances back at the Utes.
Isn't it enough just to be alive, preacher?
John considers this, then stoppers the flask.
Amen.
He puts it away. Back in Golden, Josh Reardon enters the sheriff's office, where the doctor is tending to Merriweather's wound.
He had my wife in jail. Why?
Well, for her own protection.
Well, that's not legal. I want her released now.
Keep off your feet, Bert. You still got some infection.
Thank you.
The doctor leaves.
I'll tell you what. I'll release her if you'll get her out of town.
We have no love for your town, Sheriff. We'll get out as soon as we can. Meantime, I'll be responsible for the protection of my wife.
Josh emerges from the jail with Beth.
I am not leaving until Matt gets back. What about the judge?
He's in the middle of a trial. We can't get here for 5 or 6 days.
5 or 6 days? Oh, God. He's out there all alone. They'll kill him, Josh. They will.
Beth, stop it. Quit doing that to yourself.
We've got to do something. We'll buy some horses. We'll go out after him.
We're not going to go out after him. It doesn't make any sense.
Don't tell me what makes any sense.
Beth, calm down. Use your head.
Josh, you're nothing but a damn coward.
She brushes past him. Heaving a sigh, Josh watches her stalk off along the boardwalk. Two men approach from the other direction.
Hey, you. Hey.
Josh starts toward them.
Ain't you that Dylan's daughter, huh? Ain't you?
Get away from this.
Who the hell do you think you're pushing around?
Josh, leave him alone. He's drunk.
As the two men look at each other, Josh and Beth walk past them.
Hey, you hold on. Nobody pushes me around. You hear that? You hold on. I said hold on.
The two men follow them across the street. When Josh and Beth enter the boarding house, the two men stop uncertainly outside. Upstairs, Beth and Josh enter her room. Josh steps over to the window and looks down at the two men in the street below. After a moment, they drift away. Josh turns to Beth. He sits beside her on the bed.
Josh. Josh, I'm sorry. I called you a coward. I didn't mean it. This was supposed to be our time.
We're gonna have our time.
They kiss. Matt and John ride into Cripple Creek.
How to use that dragoon you got strapped on, John? Hip jewelry's mandatory in Cripple Creek. Once had to trade shots with a claim jumper. What happened? Oh, had to write to his widow. Well, here we are.
They tie up at a hitching rail. Carrying his shotgun, John accompanies Matt to the front door of a saloon. The poorly lit bar bustles with patrons. John follows Matt in through the swinging doors. They circulate among the customers as Matt looks for Ike Berry.
Don't see him. Let's try across the street.
I'll keep these and take one.
They make their way out and cross the street to another saloon. They peer in from the entrance. This one is also busy. Matt picks out a man playing poker.
There he is. The far table. John, get around the back. If he comes out, hit him with that dragoon. But don't shoot him.
What about the second fellow?
But Matt has already stepped inside.
I'm in.
All right.
I don't know.
He approaches Barry's table.
I'll call your aide.
Barry notices and recognizes him, then tries to ignore him.
Remember me, Ike?
Yeah, about a horse.
Where's your friend Padgett?
He's up to Hog Ranch. Why?
We're going back to Golden.
They stare at each other.
Time is now, Ike.
Ike gets up and steps back from the table, his hand by his revolver.
I can't think of any good reason to ride all the way back to New Mexico.
Jules Braxton is what?
I didn't have nothing to do with that.
He backs away as Matt advances toward him.
Just keep your distance.
I don't want to take you back over the satellite. That's a hard way to go. I've already got Collie.
Whitebird's alive?
As Matt steps closer, Ike goes for his gun. Matt drops him with a vicious pistol whip, then stares down at him with contempt. Holstering his pistol, Matt heads upstairs.
Padgett? Skeeter?
Yeah?
I need to talk to you.
I'm kind of busy right now.
Having identified the room, Matt draws his pistol and faces the door. Stepping back, he kicks it open and finds Padgett in bed with a woman.
She got a bad sense of timing, mister.
I don't stand on much ceremony with killers, Padgett.
Did you hear that, Luann? You're in bed with a killer.
Get dressed. Ike Berry's waiting for us downstairs. Careful.
The woman cowers anxiously, trying to cover herself as Padgett reaches to the side of the bed for his shirt.
Who'd we, kill?
Not we, you, Padgett.
Now who would have gone and told you that?
Get your boots on.
Padgett instead comes up with his gun, and Matt shoots him dead. The terrified woman runs out.
Hear that?
Below, with Ike, John guards the stairs with his shotgun.
18-buck shot in each two, fellers. Makes for an ugly and oozy cadaver.
Matt comes down.
This lady here can tell you what happened, boys. Come on, Ike.
Covered by John, Matt heads out with Ike. Before they leave town, John wakes up the owner of a general store.
Truth is, me and my partner got to be on the road come sunup. Like I said, I promised the lady. Wouldn't hardly ingratiate myself if I walked in empty. Oh, now, that one's real pretty.
A dress.
Yes, it is.
On the trail.
What do you call yourself, minister?
No, not these days.
Look like one, dress like one.
So, I'm eccentric.
Ike, you're a miner. How'd you ever wind up with a man like Paget? Collie and I are looking for grub stakes. Sink a few shafts down in a deep vein. Well, Paget sold us on this here plan, then up and killed the old man.
They stop when they notice a party of Utes. The Utes ride on. John takes a swig from his flask, and they continue on their way. Braxton and Monahan lead the posse into Cripple Creek. Monahan notices something outside the Undertaker's.
Hey, ain't that Skeeter Paget?
Paget's corpse is propped up in a pine coffin with a handwritten sign on its chest. Anyone know this man's kin?
Doesn't he look familiar?
Yeah.
As they stop and stare at the corpse, the Undertaker comes out.
If you're acquainted with the deceased, perhaps you could tell me somebody who could offer his soul some final comfort.
Soul? Hell, that man didn't have one.
Who got him?
A former marshal named Dillon. He took a prisoner with him. A fugitive, I believe, called Ike Berry.
Braxton exchanges a look with Monahan, then turns to the Undertaker.
Which trail they take?
No trail, mister. They just headed out across Indian country.
You got any Ute trackers?
There might be some camp down by the gulch.
I ain't going into Ute country. Trackers or no trackers, it ain't fair. I got family.
Braxton backhands this new dissenter and clouts him off his horse. Monahan chuckles.
Now, anyone else wants out, do it now. I will not suffer whining cowards.
The others uneasily stand their ground. Braxton leads them out of town. That night, Matt and John make camp with their prisoner. The horses are spooked.
Something's spooking the horses.
I'll take a look.
Matt grips his rifle and rises to investigate. His presence calms the horses. Matt peers into the darkness. He doesn't see anything suspicious and returns to the campfire.
I don't know what spooked him, but there's nothing out there now. John, I'll take the first watch. Wake you at midnight.
John settles down to sleep, and Ike continues to peer nervously into the surrounding darkness.
You can relax, Ike. I'll keep you alive when we get to Golden.
Ike is not reassured. Later, while Matt dozes, John keeps watch by the campfire. He pours himself a cup of coffee. Behind him, Ike's eyes open. And he lifts his head.
Hey, preacher. Nature calls. Can you cut me loose here?
All right, Ike. Hold on.
John collects his shotgun and loosens the cord binding Ike's hands. He follows Ike away from the campsite, where Matt continues to doze. When they're well away from the campsite, Ike wallops John with a two-handed attack and grabs for the shotgun. The horses are alarmed. They struggle for the shotgun until Matt jerks awake and rushes toward the sound of the blast. John kneels by Ike's body.
Lord of mercy.
Matt arrives and stares down at Ike.
Matt, the man tried to take my shotgun away from me. It just went off.
The blast hit his face.
Thank God his own mama wouldn't know. Matt, I'm sorry.
Dead witness. What are we gonna do?
In Golden, Beth and Josh visit the editor of the town paper.
Miss Southwick, it says here that your father gave the eulogy at Jules Braxton's funeral. Were you close to him? Did you know him well?
Yes, I knew him well. He was a good man who didn't deserve what happened.
Did he have any enemies that you know of?
A man named Matt Dillon, Mr. Rudin. Now, I've tried to be courteous, but I'm very busy, so I must ask you to leave.
Now, wait a minute.
Josh, why don't you wait for me outside?
Glancing at Miss Southwick, Josh relents and leaves.
I really don't have anything to say to you either, Mrs. Rudin. Jules Braxton was my father's best friend. He helped Dad start this newspaper. He was like family.
Please, Miss Southwick. It won't do any good to convict an innocent man. If you knew my father, you'd know he couldn't have done this.
I know your father's reputation, and I admit I was surprised. But the evidence, an eyewitness.
The witness against him is a liar. Matt Dillon spent his life upholding the law. He's an honest, God-fearing man. These people are committing a terrible wrong. I love my father, Miss Southwick. I've got to do something. Please, help me.
Touched despite herself by Beth's desperation, Miss Southwick reconsiders.
Maybe you should talk to a lawyer named Charles Hungate.
Matt and John ride across the prairie. They lead Ike's horse, its former master slung over the saddle. John looks behind him and stops.
Donald, darn package, don't want to stay on.
He dismounts to retie the dress.
I sure hope she likes this. After all the bother getting that mercantile fella out of bed middle of the night and all.
Jen, I got a hunch Jane's gonna like whatever you bring her.
You think so?
I'd bet on it. Man spends too much time looking for the perfect woman, he might wind up being single.
Well, truth be known, Matt, I'm thinking I'll ask her to marry me.
She's a fine woman, John. I doubt you'd do any better.
Well, now, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I've been worrying a lot about her scarlet past.
Yeah, that's just what that is. Past. What's in here that counts?
He touches his chest.
You're right, Matt.
He mounts up.
In here. She's sure enough pure gold, huh?
They ride on. The Ute trackers Braxton recruited outside Cripple Creek search for signs at Matt and John's campsite. Monahan reports to Braxton.
Trackers say somebody got shot up pretty bad.
Ain't that a shame? How far off do you make them?
Day and a half. We picked up on them some, though.
That ain't good enough.
You want your cut, you get these men moving.
Monahan stares at him.
You best remember who you're talking to, Jules. Man doesn't talk to his partner like that.
Braxton accepts this with a nod.
In case you hadn't noticed, I want Dylan even worse than you do.
Monahan mounts up. They ride on with the rest of the posse. Meanwhile, John rides on with Matt.
Must be tough being a lawman and all, having a posse dogging you.
Can't say I like it, but guess a man's got to play the cards he's dealt.
Well, whatever happens, Matt, I want you to know right here and now, it is an honor riding with you, sir.
Thank you, John.
John uncaps his canteen and takes a drink.
Hey, that doesn't look like whiskey.
Cool mountain spring water. God's own pure essence.
Doesn't sound like you, John.
Well, truth be known, I haven't had a two to the jug in... two days.
Well, your secret's safe with me.
Must be that Puritan strength of yours rubbing off onto me.
Well, you better be careful there. Too little temptation might lead to virtue.
A party of Ute warriors gallops across the plain, not far from the posse.
No threat, Jules. They ain't gonna bother you, as long as we got those Ute trackers.
As the Utes head off in another direction, the posse rides on toward the lowering sun. Matt and John arrive back at Jane's trading post with Ike Berry's body. Jane comes out to meet them as they dismount.
Which one is that?
Oh, that's Ike Berry.
John brings Jane the present he purchased.
I got this for you.
John, he went and did something nice.
Embarrassed but pleased with himself, he glances toward Matt as Jane unwraps the present.
All the way from St. Louis.
John, I just love it.
Well, I knew you would. That's why I went and got it.
He gives her a kiss.
Well, I better get old Ike out of the sun. I'll take these horses, Matt. But Jane, how's Collie doing?
He lit out yesterday.
Where'd he go?
He had a high fever and he just went native on me. Started babbling about how he wasn't a real Indian brave without his leg. Something about going up into the hills and having his vision die.
Lord, well, he couldn't have got far. Where is he?
He's holed up in that old adobe. Took a shot at me when I went to look for him.
I'll go see if I can talk some sense into him.
Jane watches him go.
Careful, Matt.
Matt heads toward the ruins of an adobe cabin on a hill behind the trading post. He stops some distance away.
Collie! Collie Whitebird, you there?
Armed with a rifle, Collie peers at him over the remains of a wall. Jane watches with John. Levering himself up, Collie fires a warning shot.
Go away! Leave me alone!
Put the gun down, Collie. You need help.
Collie jacks another round into the chamber and aims unsteadily.
I'll kill you if I have to. Leave me be.
Matt.
The rifle trembles in Collie's grip, but stays aimed at Matt.
We'll get back to the house. We'll come back tonight.
Collie wipes sweat from his eye and watches them head back to the house. That night, John emerges from the house carrying a lantern.
John, put the light out. I'm just gonna offer a prayer, Matt. God knows we need a live witness.
Matt moves off into the shadows. and heads cautiously toward Collie's position.
I want to pray for the soul of Collie Whitebird. He was going down hard and early, and then Providence brought us Matt Dillon to save this young man. Not for gallows, but to put his own life back on the mend.
Collie cocks his rifle, and so does Matt.
He hasn't spent any of that filthy yellow lucre, and he hasn't taken anyone's life. A judge might look at that hobbling, one-legged boy and say, Collie Whitebird, you have paid in full. Let him see the way this dark night, Lord. And please, don't let him pull that trigger, or he's headed for the drop side of yonder. Amen.
Collie, do you hear me?
Collie uncocks his rifle.
Preach! Preach, I'm here!
John and Matt hurry up the hill toward him. They kneel beside him.
Never had anybody pray for me before.
It was time someone blessed you, son.
How's the leg feel?
Looks like I can't hardly stand it.
I gotta get him to a doctor.
Been out here for 2 days trying to die. Didn't work.
Come on, we'll get him inside.
Together, one on either side, they lift Collie up, and with his arms over their shoulders, they head down to the house. Morning finds the posse still on the trail. At the trading post, with help from Matt and a homemade crutch, Collie hobbles out of the house, his amputated leg bandaged just below the knee. Jane helps John hitch a team to a wagon.
Did Matt ask you to go with him?
Nope, my choice. I owe the man, Jane. He's a brick-walled, ironclad Christian of the Dreadnought stamp. He's the reason you're looking at John the Methodist again.
Approaching the rear of the wagon, Collie sees Ike's burlap-wrapped body on the bed inside.
Oh, I don't know about this, Matt.
You're going to get a fair hearing, Collie. Not only that, but like John said, the judge might even let you off easy, figuring you'd paid your price.
You don't know Jules Braxton, Jr.
No, he doesn't know me either. Come on.
Collie grimaces with pain as Matt and Jane help him into the back of the wagon. Jane gives him his crutch as John climbs onto the wagon's seat. And Matt mounts his horse.
Jane, if a posse comes by, just tell them the truth and let them be on their way.
God bless you, Matt Dillon. Preach, you better be back.
Well, I'll be back.
John releases the wagon's handbrake, and they head out. Jane watches them go. Back in Golden, Beth and Josh emerge from the lawyer's office.
That man is a stone-cold liar. We've got to get a look at his files. I know we'll find something.
How are we going to do that, Beth? Break in?
Good idea, Josh.
The wagon follows Matt across the plain. The posse rides toward Jane's trading post. They notice the horses in her corral, including her favorite paint pony.
Oh, oh. Big stock. Hold on. We could use some of those.
Yeah, look at that paint pony there. Yeah, I like him for myself.
They all look pretty good. Good brush.
Jane comes out.
You worked up quite a lather. Someone ahead of you or behind you?
We're a posse, ma'am. New Mexico Territory. You had any riders come through here today?
No.
What about yesterday?
Quite a few. There was a wagon train. Do you want something to eat?
We need saddle food.
Yeah, and some whiskey.
There's jerky and pemmican in the store. There's no whiskey, no brown water of any kind.
No whiskey? What is this, some kind of a mission?
Keeps people sensible. Utes could have told you this isn't a saloon.
Inside, Monahan watches Jane while Spinoza gathers an armload of supplies.
Deputy Monahan will pay you for mine.
We're going to have to see some cash money on the counter before you take
There's no problem, lady.
Braxton enters.
It's going to be a big day for you. I want to buy seven of your horses.
He peels some bills off a wad and gives them to her.
Oh, come on. I'll pick them out.
As Braxton leaves, Jane looks uneasily at Monahan.
We're taking them on leads. We need some spare mounts so we can catch up with these men we're chasing. Both of them come through here yesterday. Their tracks lead in and away. And they wasn't with no wagon train.
He ambles out. Jane reaches under the counter. She comes outside with a rifle.
Hey! Don't be touching that gate, mister.
I am a duly sworn deputy, madam.
I'm not selling those horses at any price.
Oh, you'd better, lady. You just damn well better.
Jane doesn't budge. When they don't either, she cocks the rifle. Monahan whirls and shoots her in the chest. She tumbles back and dies. Monahan holsters his gun. Braxton strolls over to Jane and crouches down beside her.
Well, I was right. This is a big day for you.
Saddled up, and with Jane's horses on leads, the posse rides out. Leaving Jane's body sprawled in the dust. On the way to Golden, Matt rebandages Collie's leg.
Sorry, Collie. Take it easy, I'm almost done.
Never could take pain as well as Pa.
Where are you folks?
Well, Ma ran off when I was a baby. Pa died when I was 10, went to live with his people.
The Utes?
Mm-hmm.
Here, hold this. How'd they treat you?
Decent. I never could fit in to them. I was an outsider. After a while, took off. Been on my own ever since.
Must be kind of tough, not knowing where you belong or who your folks are.
Collie nods. Nearby, John is peering through his telescope.
Matt? You better take a look here.
Matt gives Collie a friendly pat and joins John. Through the telescope, he sees several distant riders.
I can just make out four or five riders. Yeah, looks like they're kicking up about twice that much dust. Probably leading extra horses, too. If we was to keep to a steady cavalry trot...
No, but we can't. That boy's lost too much blood already.
Oh, yeah. We better get moving.
The distant riders keep coming at a canter. Matt and John get underway with Collie. The rough ride in the wagon causes him considerable pain. In Golden, Josh breaks the glass in the lawyer's door. And he and Beth slip inside.
All right, you get the file, I'll get the desk. Let's make this quick.
Right.
They begin their search. Beth finds a Braxton file and checks the contents. She reads a letter in the file.
Josh, come here and take a look at this.
Josh reads the letter, and they share a satisfied smile. They leave with the letter.
Pretty good, Beth.
Do you think it'll hold up in court?
I'd bet on it. Establishes a motive. Give it to the judge when he gets
As they pass an alley, Josh is set upon by two men. Beth grabs a piece of wood.
Get out of here!
And clubs one of the men. The man yanks the wood away and grapples with her while his partner continues to slug Josh. After one more slug in the gut,
let's go.
The two men run off, leaving Josh on the ground with the wind knocked out of him.
Josh! Oh, Josh! Josh! All right, are you fine?
She cradles his head and kisses him. John watches their pursuers through the telescope.
They're getting close, Matt. Real close. Hold on. Oh, Lord. Lord, they got Jane's paint pony.
Let me see.
John gives Matt the telescope. He peers through it.
Now, that could be any paint.
No, sir. I know that pony. He is her pride.
Let's hope you're wrong. Jen, Collie and I are going to hole up here. Why don't you take my horse and ride out? You could outdistance them easily. Their horses are spent.
What about you?
Well, we'll head out after dark. We'll meet you in Golden.
Oh, they're too close. No, you ain't going to fool them that way. I'm staying, Matt. Besides, I got to find out what that feller's doing on Jane's pony.
John, it's not you they're after now. Get out while you got a chance.
Matt, you're wasting time. I'm staying.
Then we better start looking for some high ground we can defend.
The posse follows the trail of the wagon. Matt and John watch from behind some rocks. The posse passes their position, riding along a dry gulch.
By the time they figure we're not ahead of them, they won't know which way to look.
I wouldn't rest easy just yet, John.
The Ute trackers rein in, and the posse stops with them. They search the ground for a sign.
Looks like they ran out of tracks up ahead, Jules.
Must have doubled back.
As John and Matt watch anxiously, Collie levers himself into a sitting position in the wagon. The posse starts back along the gulch. The trackers soon find the spot where their quarry left the gulch. The posse rides up out of it, heading for Matt and John. They stop some distance away. Matt cocks his rifle. Braxton and Monahan consider the situation.
Braxton Jr., you have my word. We'll bring you in. That's what you want, isn't it? We'll go back to Golden, lay a case for the court.
Yeah. You ride on in ahead of us.
Well, hell, that ain't gonna work, Dylan. These men wouldn't get their reward money then, would they?
Where'd you get that paint?
Some lady give them to me.
You're a liar, sir. She wouldn't have given you that horse.
Monahan draws his gun and fires at them. John fires back, and the paint pony crashes to the ground with Monahan. It scrambles up, and Monahan runs for cover. Braxton dismounts with his rifle and runs for cover.
John, they're trying to flank us. Stay down.
Matt moves off. Collie lowers himself from the wagon to the ground with his rifle. A deputy moves up into the rocks and into Matt's sights. Matt nails him. Braxton heads up into the rocks on the other flank with a deputy. John is looking the other way, but Collie, lying under the wagon, sees Braxton.
John, look out!
Too late. Braxton shoots John in the chest. Collie fires back, and John gets off a shot, hitting the deputy. Collie fires again, and Braxton retreats. John is losing blood rapidly. In the rocks nearby, Matt gets the drop on Monahan.
Hold it, Monahan. Drop the rifle. I said drop it, now.
Monahan drops his rifle.
Now turn around real easy.
Monahan turns slowly to face Matt with a smile.
I'm gonna face shoot you, Dylan. I'm gonna show you how it feels.
Matt covers him with the rifle.
Don't be a fool.
Monahan works up his courage and goes for his gun. Matt's bullet hits him as he fires, and he falls back. Matt spots Braxton running off with one of the remaining deputies. He fires at them as they mount their horses. But they're too far away, and they ride off. Grimacing, Matt feels his neck under his ear where Monahan's bullet grazed him. Leaving the dead man, he hurries back to a dying John. Matt kneels beside him.
I guess I'm gonna find out for sure now. What's that, John? When you're passing over, they say that you can see into the next world as you're going. See the fields of ambrosia.
John, don't be talking like that. This wound isn't it bad?
I was on the righteous path, ready to be of service. You never know your luck till the wheel stops, do you?
John, you're man of the cloth. Born to it.
John summons a smile, and it turns to a far-off stare.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Here it comes. Here it is. I can't see a damn thing. Matt.
He clutches Matt's hand.
That don't mean anything.
Life fades from his eyes as Matt looks on helplessly, and he expires. Matt drives the wagon toward Golden.
Hang on, son. We're almost there.
I'm about whistled out, man. I hope I don't die on you.
You're not gonna die, Collie.
In case I do, there's something you ought to know. Paget got to drinking and bragging afterward. Told me his deal with Braxton was to put his dad under. Ike and me thought we was gonna loot and scoot. Good man got killed. And I was a part of it.
Collie, you're no killer. That's a fact. Look ahead.
They approach the town. They roll along the main street. Matt reins in the team in front of the doctor's office and climbs down to help Collie out of the wagon.
All right, Collie. Easy now.
The doctor answers their knock.
The man here needs help.
Bring him.
Collie lies on a table while the doctor, watched by Matt, examines his leg.
See who that is, will you?
Matt steps over to the door. It's Beth and Josh.
Dad!
She hugs him.
Josh?
It's all over town, you're back. I could use a little help in here. If one of you will wash up and hold this clamp, I'd appreciate it.
I'll do it.
Who is he?
His name's Collie Whitebird. If the doctor can keep him alive, I'll tell the judge what happened.
I got a wire from the circuit judge. He said he'd be on the stage tomorrow.
He shows Matt the lawyer's letter.
Look at this. It's instructions from Braxton Sr. for his lawyer to draw up a new will. Leaves Braxton Jr. high and dry.
Out in the street, Sheriff Merriweather finds the bodies in the wagon. He makes his way to the doctor's door. Matt opens it.
I need to talk to you.
Matt steps outside with him.
Well, there I am.
Well, I'll give you one thing, Mr. Dillon. You got a lot of bark on you.
I got something else too, Sheriff. I got a witness in here that'll testify that I didn't rob or kill Jules Braxton. The man you want is Braxton Jr. He paid to have his own father killed. Here's why.
He shows Merriweather the note.
Now what you're gonna have to do, Sheriff, is find some way to help protect us till the judge gets here. Braxton's not gonna back off.
Well, I don't think I could get a single soul to stand up with me. Junior's still working with his daddy's goodwill.
You know where I come from, Sheriff. That badge means one thing. Either do what needs to be done, or take it off.
Matt takes the letter back and withdraws into the doctor's office, leaving the young sheriff in a quandary. That evening, the doctor emerges from his surgery.
Matt, he's in bad shape, but he's tough. I think I can keep him alive.
Doc, I gotta tell you something. Jules Braxton, he's gonna be coming for Collie and me. There's likely to be some real trouble here.
I figured that when I let you in. A patient under my care doesn't leave till I say so.
Thanks, Doc.
Matt picks up a shotgun and gives it to his daughter.
Beth, when they come, lock yourself in the upstairs bedroom. Anybody tries to get in, use it.
Braxton rides into town with his remaining deputies. Josh and Matt watch from the window of the doctor's office as they stop outside.
There, six of them. Beth, go on upstairs.
Matt turns down the lamp.
Come on out, Dillon. It's over.
Josh, you don't want to talk to him. You stay here and watch. If I get hit, take Beth. Get out of here.
He steps outside with his rifle.
What do you want, Braxton?
You're under arrest, Dillon. You and that half-breed you got in there.
No, we're way beyond that. I'll surrender to the circuit judge tomorrow.
You'll surrender to me, and now, by God, I'm the law in this town, Dylan.
No, you're not, Jules. I am.
It's the sheriff, armed with a shotgun.
Now you get these men on back to the mine.
You lose your senses, Bert?
You better listen to what he says, Braxton. The odds have changed.
Braxton glares at the sheriff. Without warning, he blasts the sheriff. Matt shoots one of the deputies as the others take cover and open fire. Firing back, Matt retreats into the doctor's office.
You hit?
No. Yeah, but they got the sheriff. They'll keep trying for us. Josh, stay here. I'm gonna check the back.
Josh stays by the front window while Matt slips through to the back. He peers out a window at the alley. Upstairs, Beth peers out another window. She turns from the window when she hears a sound on the roof above her. She pulls back the hammer on the shotgun. Matt keeps watch out the back window. Beth watches the ceiling, listening intently and gripping the shotgun. The sounds overhead lead her back to the window. Watching through the curtain, a man's head appears, and she fires. The man topples from the roof and crashes to the ground. Braxton and the others open fire out front, and Josh returns fire from the front window. A fireball crashes through another window. On the ground outside, the sheriff stirs. Matt beats at the flames with a blanket. Josh comes to help him. As they quell the flames, the sheriff struggles to his feet, clutching his shotgun.
Josh, round back.
Having slipped in while Matt was fighting the fire, a deputy is creeping up the back stairs. Matt sees him. As the deputy turns, Matt fires. The felled deputy tumbles down the stairs. Matt has been shot in the thigh.
Doc!
The back door is opened by another deputy. Josh sees him and lunges, grabbing his gun hand before he fires. They grapple. When a second deputy bursts in, Matt shoots him. Josh manages to knock the gun from the first deputy's hand, but gets thumped against the wall. The doctor comes in from his surgery. After checking the second deputy, he picks up the man's gun and steps over to Matt to check his wound. Josh drives the first deputy back with a couple of punches, then slams him head first into the wall, knocking him out.
Went clean through, no bone. Breathing's not too bad. So still. Here we go.
The doctor ties a tourniquet on Matt's leg.
You're lucky, Matt.
As the doctor returns to the second deputy, Matt sees someone step into the doorway behind him and raises his gun. It's Merriweather.
Sheriff.
You all right?
Matt nods. Josh is the first to hear muffled sounds from above. Matt looks up. Beth appears at the top of the stairs, with Braxton's arm around her neck and the barrel of his gun poking into her. Josh, Matt, and the sheriff aim up at him. He comes partway down the stairs behind his hostage.
No, no. I'll kill her. Put your guns down.
Josh does. The sheriff reluctantly follows suit. But Matt holds his on target. Steady and unblinking.
Put the gun down, Dylan, I mean it.
Dylan?
Braxton forces the barrel of his gun deeper into Beth's neck, pushing her head away from his.
I got him.
Matt fires and hits Braxton square in the forehead. He slumps back against the wall, releasing Beth. Josh heaves a sigh of relief. Matt lowers his gun. Beth, unharmed, makes her way down the stairs. She kneels beside her father and embraces him tearfully. Matt pats her back, soothing her. In the morning, Beth and Matt watch as a coffin with John's body is loaded onto the wagon. Beth takes Matt's arm.
He meant something to you, didn't he, Dad?
Yeah, it makes you wonder, Beth. John the Methodist looking to me for strength. He'd given up his own life when he believed I needed help. Yeah, he truly was somebody special.
On crutches, Collie joins them with Josh.
This is Vernon.
Collie.
Y'all ready, Beth?
Beth hugs her father.
You too. Have a good animal.
Josh.
See you soon, Matt.
Matt watches with Collie as Josh and Beth head for the waiting stage. Josh ushers Beth aboard. Matt waves. Josh climbs in after Beth. And the stage drives off. Matt watches it go.
Mr. Dillon?
He turns to Collie.
I know it was out of respect for you that the judge let me go. And I want to thank you for that.
It's like the preacher said, Collie. You paid your dues.
I learned a lot from you, Mr. Dillon.
Well, I think I learned something myself.
What was that?
Just how sick I am of the killing.
Collie nods, then offers his hand.
Good luck to you, Mr. Dillon.
They shake.
Good luck to you, Collie.
Collie watches Matt climb onto the seat of the wagon, and it begins its journey. Matt Dillon rolls slowly out of Golden. Later, at Jane's trading post, two crosses mark side-by-side graves. Hat in hand, Matt looks down sadly at them.
I guess you can see it clear now, John. You and Jane?
He nods, smiling slightly.
Keep that light on for me.
Donning his hat, he turns away from the graves. Mounting his buckskin, Matt rides off toward a party of Utes who have been watching from a respectful distance. As he passes them, Matt lifts his hand in a peaceable greeting, which they return. He trots off into the distance. This program has been described by Audiovision. Executive producer, James Arness. Co-starring, Tim Choate, Michael Green, Stuart Moss, Jim Beaver, Sharon Mahoney, Richard Dano. Featuring, Ed Adams as Tebble, John David Garfield as Skinner, Victor Ize as Pastor Zach, Doug Catney as Tuhawk, Fred Lopez as Spinoza. Casting by Pam Polifrani and Jan Powell. Script supervisor, Joanna Kennedy. Camera operators, Joe Urbanchik and Candy Gonzalez. Sound mixer, Dick Church. Sound editor, Bill Bell. Music editing, Unlimited Hope. Executive in charge of production, Robert Gross. Copyright 1992, CBS Incorporated. All rights reserved. CBS Entertainment Productions. CBS Enterprises.